after you do that, if you'd bow your head for just a moment and for a word of prayer, we'll have a word of prayer together. Dear Heavenly Father, we commit the message to you today. We ask, Lord, you'll just fill me with your Spirit. Simply control me completely with your Spirit today, that I'll speak the very words, preach the very words that you'd have me to. Lord, if you want me to say it, that I will. And if you don't want me to say it, that I won't. I pray that you'll bind Satan's hands to distract our minds, our thoughts, be thinking about this evening or something's going to happen this week. But Lord, may we just focus upon you. May we just focus upon your word. And I pray, Lord, that in everything your name will be honored and glorified, and we may be drawn a little closer to you today as a result of being in your house. Lord, we thank you for the privilege. And Lord, I know we don't always look at it like a privilege, but we thank you for the privilege to be able to come to church. And Lord, I pray that you'll protect our freedoms to come and protect our health so that we can keep coming. Again, draw us closer to you. I pray that we'll not be the same as a result of being in your house today as we draw closer to you in our walk with you. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I have a question for you. How many out there are coffee drinkers? How many are coffee drinkers? Wow, quite a few. How many of you are like several coffee cups a day drinkers? Several. Okay. My dad, he amazed me. It didn't matter how hot it was. It didn't matter anything. My dad just chug-a-lugged his coffee and, you know, drained the coffee pot one cup after another. How many out there are tea nippers? Are more tea than coffee? How's that? How many are more tea? Well, God bless our hearts. A few of us. Let me ask you a question. Sometimes people drink coffee for something that's in it called caffeine, right? Now, how many of you, like the beginning of your day, you'd like to have either a cup of coffee or a cup of tea to give you that little kick start in the morning? How many of you like to do that? All right, pretty good stuff, isn't it? But it gives you that little boost, right? That little, you know, pick me up, my eyes are now open, I'm a little bit awake. Some people are just plumb cranky till they get that first cup of coffee, right? Don't nudge your spouse at that point. That's not a good thing to do. Now, kind of the idea behind caffeine in coffee is the idea of an energy drink. Now, I would not recommend that. I've actually heard doctors talk to, at the time was a teenager, saying, you know what, leave those things alone. But the idea of an energy drink, and even in their commercials, they say, you take this energy drink and you'll not have that 2 o'clock, you know, downtime where you're just feeling really, you know, you've eaten lunch and then it's kind of like, oh, I'm going to fall asleep. So the idea behind that is also to pump us up with that caffeine, right, to give us a little kickstart. Now, kind of along those same lines, how many are familiar with an electric fence? Yeah, have you ever touched one of those electric fence, either by accident or out of stupidity, and you're like, whoa! Now, the idea behind that electric fence for a cow, typically, is what? To keep the cow away from the fence. Kind of give them a little kick to say, let's remind you here that you need to stay away from this fence and stay where you're supposed to stay, right? I remember also, along the same lines, I had a little mini bike growing up. It was a Honda 50, and boy, it was purty. It was little, you know, mini bike. I was little, and it was blue, and I remember going in the southern part of West Virginia riding like on our little driveway, which was dirt, somewhat gravel, rock driveway. And also going to the old lumber roads, timbering roads there in the mountains in Anston, and going back there and getting in mud puddles and stalling my engine and everything. But, you know, my mini bike had what's called a kickstart. A kickstart. Have anybody ever used a kickstart? The idea is what? You kick down on that thing and the engine revs and gets going, right? So if you think about caffeine and coffee or tea, caffeine and an energy drink, even an electric fence jolt or a kickstart on a mini bike, you've just described, or you have in your mind right now, what the message is today. Hopefully the message today is going to kickstart, if you will, energize, provide a little bit of spark in our walk with the Lord. We're going to be talking in 2 Peter chapter 3. We're going to be looking at that passage of Scripture today. And it's a little mini-series. It's kind of an unexpected mini-series that God threw in there that we're going to be talking about. This is going to be a short mini-series, probably three or four messages. But the overall title of the messages will be God's Expectations of Us. God's Expectations of Us. What kind of people are we supposed to be? What kind of people are we supposed to be? But this morning's part, as far as I can get, we're going to be talking about eight reminders. Eight reminders. And do you realize that the role of a pastor, I don't think anyone comes today and says, you know what, I want to hear something brand spanking new that I've never ever heard before. You know, the Bible never changes. And we can look at it a little different and, you know, pull out applications in the proper way, in context, and principles that we can live by. And you can sit there, hopefully every once in a while, you can say, you know, I never really thought of it that way. But as far as something brand new, it's probably not going to happen. It wouldn't be healthy because I'd probably be creating it out of my brain or something. But a big part of a role of a pastor is to remind us of what we already know as Christians. Now, I realize that sometimes when someone first gets saved, they don't get these principles right off, and they're learning it for the first time. But if you've been a Christian for a while, we need to be reminded. We need to be reminded of what we're supposed to be and to do. Because, you know, in our Christian life, if we don't keep stoking the fire, if we don't keep kickstarting our Christian life, if we don't quit, or if we stop, that is, being energized with the caffeine, if you will, the energy of God's Word, we'll kind of wind down a little bit. And that's kind of the nature of things. That's kind of our human nature, isn't it? We need to be reminded sometimes of what we need to be and what we need to do and why we do what we do. 2 Peter chapter 3. We're going to be reading all of the verses in 2 Peter chapter 3. There's 18 verses. We're going to be reading those verses. We're going to be primarily looking today at verses 1 through 11, and then we're going to do the rest of the chapter at some later time in a message, whenever God leads. Hopefully this will be a Sunday morning, Sunday night series. So if you want to hear the rest of the story, you'll have to come back tonight. Eight reminders as we read 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1. Peter writing here, the Apostle Peter. Remember what he used to be? He used to be a fisherman, right? Gave that up for the Lord. It says, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye be found in him, found of him, that is, in peace, without spot, and blameless. An account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. You know, as I look at this passage of Scripture, the overall sermon series is based in verse 11. It says, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. Do you realize that everything, every material thing that you see will be dissolved? Will be done away with? Peter, writing to Christians, says, when you see that, what manner of persons ought you to be? In other words, what kind of people are we supposed to be? And we're going to be looking at that later in this sermon series, verses 11 to the end of the chapter. But you know what? We got to be told what is the context, what is going on in this passage. And that's the title of today's message, Eight Reminders. Again, we all need to be reminded. Do y'all remember Uncle Billy in It's a Wonderful Life? Remember, very absent-minded, couldn't remember anything. And you remember what he did to keep track of stuff, or at least to try to remind himself of it? He tied a string around his finger. And he still missed things, remember? I don't know, I did watch that movie not too far back. I watched it. It's been a while since I'd watched it all the way through. I watched it, and he had a string on his finger to remind him to go to Jimmy Stewart, Howard Bailey, his wedding. And he forgot. He had a string here. And Jimmy Stewart says, oh yeah, that's what that string was for. So we sometimes put that strings on our fingers to remind us. There's some things in Scripture that need to remind us that we need to be serving the Lord. That we need to be serious. You know, there's a whole lot of people that say, I'm a Christian. Oh, you're a Christian, eh? Yeah, I'm a Christian. I know Jesus as my Savior. Well, praise the Lord. Where do you go to church? Oh, they sometimes say, I don't go to church. Some of them say, well, I go to that church. And this is hilarious to me. I almost laugh. It's like, Where do you go to church? Well, I go at church. You know that church up there at the, it's a brick church. Yeah, I think it's brick. Oh, it's not brick. It's sided. Okay, it's got siding on it. And it's in that street. And you go a little bit and it's on the right. It's like that. They may know where they go to church, but they sure don't know much about it. And I'd say they probably don't go there very much. Then we got Christians who say, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian. And then we only feast on about 10% of God's blessings. Because we get together as a church, we pray together, we have Sunday school together, we worship together, we listen to God's word together. But for whatever reason, that which is most important is relegated to, well, I'll give God one morning. Yep, that's what I'll give him in church. One morning, that's it. Forget it. Anything else. But, you know, I think we need to be reminded. And as we're reminded from God's word, we ought to be stirred up. Kick-started, if you will. Energized, if you will. As I look at these eight reminders, hopefully your heart will be energized. And I say that, and I've gone from the extreme of those that profess and don't go to anywhere church and on and on and on. But sometimes we can sit through every service. I mean, we could be here. We're faithful. We're faithful. We're going to be here. But we get a little bit blah in our Christian life. It's like, okay, hopefully today, by the time we're done, you'll leave and say, you know what? I'm a little bit energized today. I've been kick-started in my Christian life. I've been reminded of some things about the Christian life and about my God. Reminder number one. Y'all are kind of quiet today. You kind of concern me a little bit. Reminders. Eight reminders that will help us meet God's expectations of us. Hopefully give us a boost. Give us an encouragement. Give us a motivation. Number one. Reminder, we have to remember the Bible. Look at verses 1 and 2 here. It's point number 1, remember the Bible. It says, as Peter writes this to Christians, notice what he says. I tell you what, on the count of 3, everybody here say amen. Okay, 1, 2, 3.
Amen.
All right, on the count of 3, everybody here say praise the Lord. 1, 2, 3.
Praise the Lord.
That's pretty good. Next step is exercises. He writes, this second epistle, beloved. Now, it's interesting. He uses beloved in this 18-verse chapter 4 times. We see it in verse 1, this second epistle, beloved. We see it in verse 8, but beloved. We see in verse 14, wherefore, beloved. Verse 17, it says, ye therefore, beloved. Now, we figure out that Peter cares about these people. But he's reminding them. You know, sometimes people get mad at preachers. Sometimes, like, preacher, he must be mad at me because he's up there preaching and he knows it. You know, what I say and what I preach, it's because I love you. You're my beloved. Now, Amy's my real beloved, but you know what I mean. You get the point, right? I care about you. Because I care about you, I'm going to preach and remind you that we need to be kick-started in our walk with God. Remember the Bible. He says, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I, notice this, stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. You know, we may not use exactly that terminology today, but he says, you know what, I want to stir you up into right thinking. I want to stir you up by reminding you of all of these things. And then he says that you may be mindful. If you kind of notice the idea of remembering in your mind in these verses, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. You know what? I didn't grow up with any prophets, did you? No. Nope. You know, I don't even have any friends who are apostles, do you? Personal friends? So how in the world are we supposed to come up with the words of the holy prophets and the commandments of the apostles. The Bible. The Bible. Do you realize that we all need to be reminded sometimes that we need to be in the Bible? Do you know, it's amazing to me. Now, it's amazing to me that this Bible, year after year after year after year, is the bestseller. The bestseller in the world, from what I understand. I didn't count it, but best I can tell, bestseller. It's probably the best-selling book that is the least read. Everyone here, if you're a child of God, need to be spending time in the Bible. Now, how ridiculous is it for us to try to live our life and say, well, I'm going to do it, but I'm not going to consult the book. God's owner's manual. I've called it God's owner's manual. I've called it God's love letter to us. I'm going to live my life. I'm going to prosper. I'm going to be blessed. I'm going to raise my kids the way God wants me to. I'm going to be the husband that God wants me to. I'm going to be the worker that God wants me to be. I'm going to be the neighbor that God wants me to be. But I'm not going to read the Bible. Come on. That's kind of crazy, isn't it? This is like God's owner's manual right here, and it tells us what we're supposed to be and how we're supposed to do it. And you say, preacher, I've really never read the Bible. You know, it's just set there kind of on the shelf. Well, I know no better time than today to start. There are reading plans galore out there. If you want to read it in a year, you want to read it in 6 months, you want to read it in 3 months. I remember a guy came to Highland Park Baptist Church, there at Tennessee Temple, years ago. He's still around, David Gibbs. You may have heard the name, David Gibbs. And I'm not sure if he's the junior or not. I'm not sure about that. I kind of forget. But he's the one that does the Christian Law Association. If you ever heard of the Christian Law Association, they're a resource for churches in case there's something questionable and the government's trying to infringe upon our right or some local entity is trying to cause the church grief. For over some reason, you can talk to them and they'll represent you in court. So it's a law group. But I remember him saying, as best I can remember, he read his Bible through every month. And he said, if you do it, I think he said something like, I'm trying to think, make sure I'm not getting confused with two different people. But I think he says, if you sit down and just read straight through for 45 minutes, you can read your whole Bible in a month. And I'm like, wow, I'm not sure my brain could quite comprehend all that in a month. So there are people that really do a lot of that, and we're capable of a lot more than we think we are. But I say that to say this, if you're not in this book at all, how in the world can you even hardly call yourself a Christian? Seriously, we're busy people, but you should never be too busy for God. And it is, isn't it amazing? I'm going to go to meddling here. Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing that we have time to call out to God in prayer when we're in trouble, but we don't have time to read the Bible? Something wrong, a little wrong with that. Because in a general sense, okay, when I'm praying, I'm talking to God. But when I'm reading and studying the Bible, God is talking to me. And I don't know about you, I better let the smarter part talk a little bit more than me. Does that make sense to you? So we need to be listening to God from the Word of God. We need to be reminded. This book didn't just happen in Sunday school. I've been in that kind of that series for a while. And we talked about it today, about how the Bible is God's toolbox. And it's got everything we need to serve the Lord. But yet we ignore it so often. Or if sometimes we read it, and if you're not reading it at all, fine. Just start wherever you can start. You can start reading in the Gospel of John. You can begin at the Gospels. And I fully get it. Some of the parts of the Bible are not as exciting as others. You know what I mean, right? But it's all God's word. It's all inspired. And God will bless you for being faithful, spending time in the Bible. Folks, I would guarantee you, I'd almost put this in writing and sign. I guarantee you that America today and the churches in America today are more biblically illiterate today than they've ever, ever been. For a child of God, I've been saved. I've been gloriously saved. For a child of God to not be spending time in the Word of God, it's really a shame. I don't know what other word I'd put with it. It's really a shame. We need to be spending time in there. And as we spend time in there, can I tell you that your life will go a whole lot better? Seriously. You say, preacher, you're just saying that. That's what preachers say. No, I'm serious. If you spend time in the Word of God, and not just a little, I read my one verse, time to move on thing. You know, I mean, really, just spend a little bit of time looking at God's Word and say, what does it say? And what does it say to me? And how can I apply it? If you do that, God will bless your life. And we say, I want to be blessed. I want my kids to follow Jesus. I want them to be faithful to the Lord. Spend time in the Word of God. And God will teach you how to be the best you could be for Jesus. We need to be reminded of that in our churches today. And you'd think that a church that's been here over 50 years, I know compared to some churches that's not real long. My home church, Hopewell Baptist Church back in Fayette County, they were meeting, as best I remember, back in the 1700s. So it's been around forever, almost. And that doesn't seem real long. But you'd think that a church has been here over 50 years that stuck to the Word. And as far as I know, the pastors that I know of, you may say, well, I disagree. I don't know. But as far as I know, this church has stuck to the Word of God. And the Word of God has been preached. As far as I know. It's been solid. It's been consistent. And your Sunday school, Bill's been teaching Sunday school for at least, 125 years or so. And I just making sure Bill was awake. For at least 100, no, he's been doing it a while. I'm joking. He's been doing it. He's a great Sunday school teacher. Really. And we've stuck to the Bible. We're not preaching current events, and we're not reading newspaper headlines or the preacher's not trying. This would really scare me and scare you too if all I had to do was stand up here and tell you how smart I am or try to pull some brilliance out of my brain. You know, probably, if you know me very well, that's not going to happen. I'm not sure there's any brilliance in there. But as a church that has stuck to the Word of God since its beginning under O.D., You'd think that God's people in this church would be spending time in the Word of God every day, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you? You'd think that. Because I'll guarantee you, again, this is a reminder. I'll guarantee you've heard this same thing probably a gazillion times if you've been in church. Because preachers preach quite a bit on being in the Word of God, because how crucial that is. How are you going to change? How are you going to become all that God wants you to be? How are you going to be empowered to be the man of God that God calls you to be, or the woman of God that He's called you to be, if you don't spend time? So you hear this, and you hear it, and you hear it, and you hear it. Can I say, why not let 2/4/24 be the day? That's pretty cool, isn't it? 2/4/24. Only time it's going to happen this year. 2/4/24. Right? Well, it is anyway. Any days, you say, it's only going to happen once, preacher. But I mean, with the number 2/4/24, next year it'll be 2/5/25, and the year after that 2/6/20. You know, you get the point, right? But it's easy to remember. So why not let today be the day that you say, you know what? I'm going to read the Bible. There's all kind of tools out there to help you. All kind of tools. You say, preacher, do you understand everything in the Bible? Can I tell you, not by a long shot. There's lots of things in there that it's a little bit confusing. It's a little, because God wrote it, and you know how much smarter God is than any of us, right? Now, it's not that we're not supposed to dig, and I think if we dig, we can figure it out, because God doesn't want it to be a mystery either, but there's some confusing things in Scripture. And there's some things, even after you study it out, you're still like, well, I think it means this, and I think this is what it's saying, but I'm not, you know what I mean? I'm not meaning to cast doubt and say it's open to, it's not open to just anybody's interpretation, but there are some complicated things in the Bible. But that doesn't mean, oh, woe is me, I'm not going to touch it. Because you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you, right? And the Holy Spirit inspired the men to write this book. So you should be able to say something like this: Lord, you wrote the book. Can you give me understanding as I read your book? And then as you read it, God will show you what it means and help you. And I'm here to help you. And Bill's here to help you. And John's here to help you. And other Christians that have been Christian a while are here to help you and say, yeah, I can help you with that. Or I can give you a resource. Or I can say, well, I don't exactly know exactly what that's saying either. But I think it means this. I think this is what it's saying. Can I summarize this whole point and say there is no reason at all that you can give me that you're not in God's book? And I'll guarantee you that if you're not careful, you'll just chalk this in your brain and you'll say, yep, another message on the Word of God. Yep. And you're going to leave that door, leave the church, get in your car, go home, and not one single thing will change in your life. I think that'd be a travesty, don't you? The series is basically, what type of people are we supposed to be? Since all this is all going to burn up and we know Jesus. Today we've only covered one reminder, and I believe God's telling me to quit. Bobby looks at the clock. Whoa, something wrong here. If you're going to be the kind of people that God wants you to be, let me remind you, you've got to be in the book. You've got to be in the Word of God. For most of you, and some are still in the workplace and some are retired, but if your boss came to you and gave you a manual, or maybe a thick book, and told you, looked you in the eye, and said, guess what? Or maybe your teacher in class, and you were one of those students who wanted to do well. So your teacher or your boss or whatever handed you a book and said, I want you to study what's in this book. I want you to know what's in this book, so that you can get a good grade in this class or you can do your job. I guarantee you that for most people sitting here today, it would get your attention. You're like, whoa, oh, my boss, oh, you might not like it, but you're like, phew, I better get in this book. Now, don't get me wrong, I am not your boss. But can I tell you, God, in essence, is your boss. And God, through his book, is saying, guess what? You need to remember God's word. You need to get in God's word. You need to study what's here. You need to apply what's here. You need to, not just like a little flippant thing either. Again, if you're not in it at all, I would welcome you reading a few verses a day. I would welcome. I think God would say, hey, but then increase it. You know, go a chapter, then go, and just keep. And some of you, though, you've been Christians for years, and you're still just wimping out on God. I mean, I encourage you, get in the book. Again, we want our lives to be so blessed by God, don't we? We want the perfect family. We want the perfect spouse. We want a perfect job. We want everything. Now, this world is sinful and nothing's going to be perfect. But can I tell you, part of the reason we don't have the blessings in life upon our families, upon our marriages, upon our kid raising and all that is because we're not spending any time or enough time and getting serious about the Word of God, the Bible. You know, some might be out there saying, "Preacher, you talk a lot about the Bible." Mm-hmm. Amen. Is that your point? Yeah, I do. That's what we're supposed to do. And if I can encourage you today, I mean, God knows why He laid this message on my heart, and we've only looked at one reminder. But God knows exactly what we need. And if one person out there today would say, "You know what? I'm going to resolve to get in the Bible." You know, it's amazing. We have time to watch our TV shows. We have time to listen to our podcasts. We have time to watch our Westerns. We have time to do this and watch our Hallmark movies. And we have time to things like that. We have time to with our hobbies. We have time to garden. We have time to follow my favorite sports team. We have time for everything, but we don't have time for the Bible. If one person carves out some time and starts spending time in the Bible, it's a blessing. It's a plus. It's a hallelujah. If one person. I want to ask you, if you would, to bow your head and close your eyes. As every head is bowed and every eye is closed, as Amy comes to the piano and begins to play, I'm going to ask you something. I'm not going to ask anybody to relieve any thoughts or worries. I'm not going to ask anyone, as a result of the message, to come down the aisle today. Unless, I'll talk in a moment about if you're here and lost. But if you're a Christian today, I'm not going to ask you to step out. But I have a question for you. Are you spending time, as you should, in God's Word, the Bible? And can I say that the devil hates it when you're in the Bible? So the devil will create all kind of distractions to keep you out of the Bible. Even when you make up your mind, "I'm going to be in the Bible," something will come up. And you got to have resolve. I pray that the message today has been a kickstart, you know, a jolt of caffeine into your soul spiritually, and you say, "You know what? I need to be in the Bible more. And God helping me, I will. God helping me, I'm going to spend more time in the Bible." If you've resolved that today, you've made up your mind, you're making that decision, "God helping me, I'm going to spend more time in the Bible." Would you raise your hand up real high? "God helping me, I'm going to spend more time in the Bible." God bless you. God bless you. Thank you for those hands. Anyone else? God bless you. Anyone else say, "God helping me, I'm going to spend more time in the Bible, God's Word, for me"? Anyone else? Amen. God bless you. You know, there's a really good chance that if you don't make that decision today, you won't make that decision. God's tried to make it as clear as He could to us today that we really need to spend time in the Word of God. Anyone else say, "You know what, preacher? God helping me, I'm going to try to spend more time in God's Word." As every head is bowed and every eye is closed, "God helping me, God bless you. God bless you." Anyone else? "God helping me, I'm going to spend more time in the Word of God." God bless you. I have another question for you. Is there anyone here today that if I were talking to you face to face and eye to eye, and I ask you this question, are you 100% sure that if you died today, you'd go to heaven? If I ask you that question in conversation, face to face, eye to eye, you would have to honestly tell me, no, I do not know 100% sure that I'd go to heaven. If you couldn't answer yes to that, but you'd have to answer no, I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. As she plays, there's nobody looking around. Would you decide today to trust Jesus as your Savior? Would you settle that so that you don't have this big question mark in your mind when anybody talks about going to heaven? Like, I don't know. Or talk about being saved. I don't know. Would you settle that today? Would you have the boldness today to come out of your seat and come forward and talk with me? And settle that. Settle that question in your mind. You can call out to the Lord and say, Lord, save me. Forgive me of my sins. You can call out to Him in prayer and mean it from your heart. You can say, Lord, I believe that Jesus was your Son who died on the cross for me to pay for my sins. I really believe that. And resurrected back to life. I confess Jesus as my Savior, as my leader, as the one I'm going to follow. You can do that. If you're listening in today, you can do that right now. Mean that from your heart. And you can be saved and know you're on your way to heaven. Nothing better than knowing where you're going and why you're here. Nothing better than having that joy and that peace. If you're here today and you say, you know what? I want to trust Jesus. I want to know I'm going to heaven. Would you step out of your seat? I'm telling you, it'd be the best day of your life. Would you step out of your seat and come forward? Say, preacher, I want to be saved. I want to know I'm on my way to heaven. As she plays on the piano today, anyone?